Studio. My name is Kevin Orbaker. I'll be your host and presenter. Before we get started, I want to remind everybody that you can maximize the video window on your display, and also there is a Q&A available for you if you have questions during today's presentation. We'll be monitoring it, answering live Q&A near the end, but in between now and then, if there's an important issue or concern you have, please feel free to ask a question. All right, so let's get started. We've been working on a kind of series of a series around data and how Microsoft SQL Server helps provide just a breadth of features and functionality for you and your organization, whether you're big or small. And we're going to wrap up that series today talking about the hybrid approach to our data solution. When we talk about hybrid data, we're really talking about taking advantage of the best of on-prem as well as cloud services, and specifically Azure. So our topics today will be around making a case for hybrid data and really understanding why hybrid data is so important to today's organizations. We're going to be taking a look at a number of services available within SQL Server today that enable you to take advantage of hybrid data solutions so that your on-premises data can migrate and easily integrate with Azure services. And finally, we're going to talk about next steps, call to action, and then have a live Q&A session towards the end. So what makes mission-critical databases? Well, when organizations were surveyed, a number of common topics came up as far as mission-critical databases. Those include keeping your data safe and secure, whether it's in the cloud or on-premise. Everybody wants their data secure. We've seen a number of breaches lately. There's been a number of high-profile issues with data getting out to people they shouldn't. So, you know, as an organization, keeping your data safe and secure is probably number one for most organizations. Being able to scale and meet future needs. This is one area where a lot of organizations are struggling in some cases. Many organizations are just keeping above pace, but it's really a challenge often to scale, especially as like I like to call them, the Black Friday events. Every organization tends to have at least one Black Friday, whether it's a holiday season or end of the month, end of the quarter, possibly end of the week, maybe every Friday. There's some demand. And to be able to scale for those demand points is mission critical for most organizations. Keeping a price performance that is reasonable and sustainable, especially if we're talking about being able to peak, right? So if a lot of organizations are in the process of trying to manage their price performance, and they have these scale events, and they have to build a system or platform to handle those peak performance events, when most of the time that's not really necessary, it really creates a challenge for organizations to meet that price performance component. So having the cloud there to assist in that is critical. We'll talk about that more today. A platform that's of high quality and has responsive support. So a lot of times organizations are looking in their within their own staff to do it, and quite honestly, they can support, but sometimes there's after hours or those peak loads again that really stress out or strain the existing staff and keep them from being able to be as responsive as sometimes the organization requires. So having that ability to call and have high quality responsive support is mission critical to most organizations. And if you're a small organization and you don't have dedicated staff, that's even more important to be able to call on somebody and have them available. And really the cloud can offer a lot around that. And finally, a platform you can trust, whether it be on-premise or in the cloud, a platform that you know has support, that has a trusted enterprise and corporate dedicated staff, and really being able to provide that level of trust within your data platform is critical. So, how do we unlock mission-critical hybrid scenarios. Well, within Microsoft and SQL Server specifically, we're talking about two areas. We're talking about SQL Server virtual machines, which provide the same level of capacity and capability that you would find on-premise as a virtual machine in Azure, providing full access to all the SQL set features. If you've written an on-premise application or use a third-party app that requires certain functionality within SQL Server that just cannot be replaced with any other database or PaaS, let's say, then providing that full access SQL feature set is critical. So a virtual machine in Azure is there for that. Creating a customized environment. Maybe you have some specific need that requires custom types or custom code within your SQL that doesn't connect properly to a shared access PaaS environment, then that SQL VM is there for you as well. Having a SQL VM in Azure eliminates your hardware costs. You do not have to have hardware purchase, and you have the ability to go to scale up and down with those hardware, the virtual hardware, as you need. So think about that Black Friday. If we're talking about being able to eliminate hardware costs and scale up and scale down on your consumption for those peak times, again, whatever your peak times are, being able to scale up and scale down for those times is critical for an organization. Think of it as electricity, right? You're going to pay for the lights in your home or your business when you need them, and when you don't, you turn them off or turn off a portion of them, and your costs get reduced. That's the same way we look at VMs in the cloud as well. You can scale down or turn them off when they're no longer necessary, spin them back up and start running them again, or scale them up for those peak times as you need and then scale back down. And finally, fast time to cloud. We're going to see just how fast that is, but being able to get your data into the cloud in minutes rather than days or weeks, or sometimes months for some organization between the time that they have to procure new hardware, set up and configure the environment, purchase software licenses, and then deploy and configure it all for a production runtime environment, can take a very long time. And what we're going to see today is just how easy it is to get these environments up and running in a matter of minutes. So then we look into our other side of hybrid data, and we talk about our Azure Data Services. So these services are built into SQL Server, but work with the on-premise version of SQL Server that allow you to take advantage of services in Azure, native to the application, and really extend your data center from your on-premise location to the cloud in ways that have never been thought of before. And really, we're looking about stretching your data to the cloud. We're talking about using big data and NoSQL type services in the cloud, scaling out for a data warehouse using Azure SQL Data Warehouse, and finally doing analytics and machine learning against that data. So having big scale computing against your data, whether it be on-prem or in the cloud, and being able to do predictive and prescriptive analytics is really that rounded out view of where our data moves to. So I'm going to switch to a demo real quick. Let me go over here. So we talked about being able to spin up a virtual machine, and I want to show you just how easy it is to start with SQL in the cloud today. If you haven't already, I've brought up on the screen here, azure.microsoft.com will get you to our landing page. You can sign up for a free trial of Azure. It gives you, if you click on the try it for free link, it will take you to the sign up page. You'll notice you get $200 worth of credit for your first, when you sign up. And that really provides up to 14 virtual machines, 40 SQL Azure databases, or 8 terabytes of storage for 1 month. So $200 can go quite a long way. And even when you run out of that $200, there's still a number of services that you can use for free, including a very small size SQL Azure database. Websites and web apps as well are provided in there. So once you've signed up, then you log in. That's where I am right here. From the portal here, you see there's a number of services available for you to do. Essentially, at this point, we're going to create a virtual machine. So on the left-hand side, we click on virtual machine. You notice I have none here. So I'm going to hit add. Now, when you hit add, you get to our gallery. The gallery is going to provide you with all sorts of virtual machines that are ready to spin up, including basic Windows Server or even Red Hat if you want to do some kind of Linux service. But what we're going to focus on today is SQL. So we have available a number of SQL Server images. So if I hit SQL Server, you'll see all of the VMs right here are available for you. So we have the SQL Server 2014 Service Pack 1, our SQL Server 2016 Release Candidate 3, which is what we're going to do today. So I'm going to click on that. And you'll see over here there's some terms and conditions. We have a resource manager choice. We have an older version, which is classic for compatibility, but if you're just starting out, the resource manager model is the way to go. We're going to hit create. Then we have to fill out a few options. So we have our basic options, which give it a name. So we have to give our machine a name. I'm going to go ahead and do Studio SQL 2016 Demo. That one's taken. So it does have to be unique within the space of the Microsoft namespace. So let me try that. And we get a checkbox, which means we are valid. You have to type in a username for this machine. Go ahead and type in a username and a password. Use your subscription. So the first time you log in, if you have a subscription, it will give you get you in there. Let's see. All right, let's do a different password. All right. And then a resource group. So the resource group is a collection of entities, storage, networking, etc. So let's give it a name. We'll just call it our Studio Demo Resource. Studio Demo Resource Group. And then where you want to locate your virtual machine. Now this is where you would choose to have that virtual machine local to where you are. So I'm on the West Coast. I'm going to go ahead and pick West US and then click OK. So the basics give it a name and a location. Then you need to pick a size for the VM. Now it will recommend a number of sizes based on the type of VM, in this particular case SQL Server. So these are the three it recommends. The price you see here is the price to run this VM 24/7, 365 for 1 month. So a full month running all the time. Now, if you shut down the VM and deallocate it or turn it off, it will not cost this much. You can spend probably $20 a month just if you manage it properly on one VM. So if you want to pick one appropriately. And remember, you can always change the size after the fact. You aren't stuck with this size forever. You don't have to, you know, rebuild a new one. You can actually change the size of the VM at any time. So if you want to start small and you want to grow big, or you go start big and you don't need that much, you can scale it down. So I'll pick this one. I'll hit select. And then it's going to fill out a number of default items for you. So it's going to pick a storage account for me. I can create a new one or use one that exists. So for instance, I'll use the Studio storage that I have. And then it'll tell me the virtual network name, the subnet for all that as well. And then finally, I can scroll down and if I want to pick an availability set. These are more advanced options. To begin with, I think just take the defaults, click OK, and you're good. Now, finally, there's some special settings for SQL Server. Since it knows this is a SQL Server, we're going to pick our private networking and pick the port. The default SQL port is 1433. You can leave it that way, or you can put a custom one in if you'd like. And then I'm going to pick the standards for patching my server. So in Azure, we give you the option to automatically patch your server, so you do not have to worry about patching or updates. Those will happen for you at the time that you choose. And you can also choose to automatically back up your server. Right now I have that disabled, but you could choose to back it up on a scheduled basis. So you don't have to worry about backing up your SQL databases either. And those will be backed up directly into your Azure storage, so you don't even have to worry about the storage. Click OK there. And it's going to give me a summary of everything I've chosen. And I click OK. And then it's going to go and build my virtual machine. So as we come back to our dashboard here, you'll see over here on the right, it's submitting that request and deploying it. So that'll take a few minutes, so we'll jump out of this. But that's really how easy it is to start using your Azure VM today. So there are other ways to start taking advantage of SQL, hybrid SQL storage. And one of the ways new to SQL Server 2016 is what we call Stretch Database. Now, Stretch Database is a unique feature to SQL Server that doesn't exist in any other product. And what it allows you to do is take your on-premise SQL Server. So right here we have an order history table and the SQL Server database in red down below. You may have an application that communicates with that database and is, you know, getting data as it needs to out of that database locally. When we talk about stretching, we choose specific tables that we want to stretch into Azure. So think of it as having online and available all the history you need for a particular set of tables, whether they be purchase history or customer order history, or maybe just customer history. Maybe even after customers haven't been around for a few years, you want to keep them available in your database, and you're worried about storage costs or containing your on-premise storage cost. Well, in SQL, we now have the ability to tell the database to stretch one or more tables into Azure. When a user queries the database or requests data from that database, they request it from their local SQL server. The SQL Server knows that the data is actually stored in Azure for a portion of that data that they're requesting, and it will pull it down from the Azure storage and retrieve it for the user so that the user doesn't have to change their application or connect to a different data source or have anybody in the data center restore historical data back. So it makes it very convenient to save money, improve the customer experience by providing more data available online, keeping it available so that your customer or your customer service department doesn't have to go back and retrieve reports or restore data from older data stores. In addition, because it connects to the local SQL Server, the application has no idea that the data is in Azure, that it's retrieving. It simply looks and acts as if it's all on-premise data. The key thing to remember here is that all of the data is encrypted and queryable. So even if you have data in Azure, that data is stored encrypted, and when you pull it down from Azure for that query, it's retrieved encrypted. So whether the data be compliant required data or it's data that you want to encrypt for your own personal requirements in your organization, that data stays encrypted from the time it gets stored all the way to the client. I have a demo of this as well, so let's switch back over. So I'm going to open up SQL Server. This is SQL Server 2016, what I have here is a sample database. You can get this database online. It's the AdventureWorks database right here, and we have a number of tables in it. It's populated with a ton of data, but what I want to start with is actually just looking at a table here locally. The table is the sales order tracking table in our AdventureWorks. If I look at that, you'll see that the space used right here, zoom in a little bit, the space used for that database, I have 188,000 rows of data, and I'm using approximately 47 megabytes of data there, 47,000 K. So that data is stored on my local database. Now I'm going to go ahead and take that database just to show you how easy it is to stretch this table into Azure. I'm going to go down to the sales order tracking. which is right. Sales, order tracking, right here. All right. And when I right click on this, I actually have a new option called stretch. So I'm gonna go ahead and enable that. It's gonna pull up a dialog box. Now this dialog box is a wizard to help you walk through it for the first time. So if I click next, it's gonna choose which table, which is the one I've chosen. We can select more than one, but I'm gonna select one. Now, I'm gonna show you moving all the rows to Azure. Now I've already logged in. If you haven't logged into your Azure account at this point, it would, before it gets to this step, it would pop up a box and ask you to log in. But I've already logged in, so we don't have to worry about that. But it's gonna give me a summary of what's gonna happen. Now, I've decided to move everything up. You can choose to move a portion of the rows or have some type of predicate against your data to maybe a date timestamp or an archive bit flag in your database that would signify that that data needs to go to Azure. So I'm gonna hit finish. Now it's gonna configure it and kick off the process. At this point, if I check my local storage, I'm going to execute this again. You'll see it's still there. It quite hasn't started moving it. So I'm going to go ahead and execute this little query right here, which is going to select some data from that table, just to give you an idea that I am still querying that data in this database. Even though it's right now in the process of migrating data, I still have full access to all of the data. So I can do this migration from on-premise to Azure in real time. I don't have to take it offline or do it in the middle of the night. I can actually do it in the middle of the day. If I check that space storage use again, it still is in the process of kicking it off. And now we see that data is going to start changing. So I'm gonna go ahead and check some values again just to show that it's working. We can look at the status of our migration. You'll see here that it's in the process of migrating right now. Let me zoom in a little bit. So right here it's telling me that there's some steps being done to migrate that database. And so I'm clear that the migration has started. If I come back up and check the space used again, actually, let me scroll down. Here's one that looks at local only data. So you'll notice I had 188,000 rows before, and now we're down to 168,000 that are actually on the local database. If I execute this again, you'll see here that that number is dropping. So zoom back in for you. So if we were to take a look at that number right here, the rows that are available on my local machine are dropping. Eventually, all of these rows will disappear locally. So we'll go back to that, but let me scroll back up here and show you that we can still select data from that database. So right now, that table is in the process of moving to Azure. We're still able to select that data, just like that. So if I go back down here and check it, now we're down to 88,000 rows. From 188,000 rows, we're now down to only 88,000. So eventually, all of this data will move to Azure, and I'll have a table that looks and acts as if it's local. I'm using still the local SQL Server right here. This is my local machine, and I'm able to actually get that data in a real-time fashion. So this is a great feature that allows you to really take advantage of stretching your data into a low-cost storage. And again, I've chosen to move all the rows. You can choose to move just a portion of the rows if you like. All right, so we looked at cutting storage costs with SQL Stretch. One of the things that we've added to SQL Server as well is what we call data encryption always encrypted. So SQL Server 2016 has enabled a new feature that allows data to be encrypted from the time it leaves the client to storage in the SQL Server and all the way back. Now, we talked at the top of today about how important security and trusting your data source from as being secure is probably number one on most organizations' list. With this always encrypted, it allows you to encrypt your data. So this example is encrypting this social security number in the SQL database and actually having it encrypted from the time it leaves the client all the way to the server and all the way back. And then it's not until the application gets a hold of that data that that data becomes unencrypted. So for an organization to be able to ensure security, SQL Server takes care of securing all the data, whether it be in transit or at rest. And that applies to the Azure Stretch database, as well as all of our other services in Azure. Storage of the data from a backup perspective, being able to retrieve that data on demand, all of that is encrypted from the time it leaves to the time of storage and all the way back. And that is actually applies all the way through to the transact SQL or the T-SQL command. So even if I were to open up as a database owner, the console and query the data using a select statement, for instance, it would be encrypted for me as DBO unless I've been given explicit access to de-encrypt that data. Now, de-encrypting it requires a key, so not only do I have to have proper access, but I also have to have a secure token that's provided to me as well. So that entire process end-to-end is completely secure, and you control that and manage that via your keys and your security teams and groups. We also have the ability to do hybrid cloud when it comes to our always on. So we have a new feature in Azure. It was introduced a few releases ago called always on. And that always on allows you to have two or more servers in your farm that are synchronously or asynchronously replicated and provide continuous replication and ensure that your data, you have business continuity with your data. Now, what we recommend is your on-premise data be synchronized in a synchronous fashion. So you have two servers, let's say, on-premise. But one of the features we've added to Azure is the ability to quickly right-click and deploy a database server using a VM as another, as an asynchronous always-on server. And that is a simple process by just building up a new server, like I showed you using a VM, and then adding that as a replica to your always-on replica. This is what we call enhanced always-on. It's new to SQL Server and allows you to be able to quickly stand up a new disaster recovery center without even having to buy hardware or provision a rack or sign a contract, really. You just stand up that server. You can pick the region, whether it's west, east, or if you're in another country, what's local to you, and ensure that that's always available and always online. So if your data center goes down and you need to provide business continuity, you can do that as well. Also, you can do reporting off of that server. So if you want to keep reporting off of your primary server and ensure that your primary server is not burdened with additional reporting workloads or BI reports, dashboards, KPIs, what have you, you can actually point to that secondary replica in Azure and keep the workload of BI and reports and queries off of your primary on-premise. And all of that is provided in that scale-out global fashion that we provide in Azure. So that's a great feature of providing DR and business continuity without having to spend millions or hundreds of thousands of dollars in a data center near your location. So another way we provide this hybrid SQL is with backup and also deploying of databases into Azure. Both of these features, and I'll demonstrate one of the two, but both of these features allow you to be able to provide business continuity, to be able to deploy it easily and store your data in Azure without having to jump through any hoops as far as getting your data there. Think of this as your virtual tape library, having backup data available at any time, all the time. You can store as much as you want at a very low cost. Within Azure, we're talking As you saw earlier in the splash screen for joining, it actually said you can have 8 terabytes of data for $200 a month. So think of that as having a virtual tape library of your backups or a copy of your database available and online in Azure at any time. In the case of a very cheap, low-cost backup option, you can back up your data into Azure, have it available, and should your data center go down or your primary server go offline, maybe you don't have the money or budget to have a high availability, always on type environment, but you want to have some sort of business continuity. If you were to back up your data into Azure, if your primary server or your only server goes down or is offline, not available, you can actually spin up a VM like we showed earlier in Azure and then restore it from the data that you're storing in Azure for your backup. So when it comes to being able to bring it online, make it available in a very short fashion, it's a great example of how to do it. Now, I'm going to do another demo here for you. And this demo is going to, actually, before I do that, let me just jump back to my local data here. I'm going to re-execute this. We showed earlier how I was moving my data to Azure using Stretch. You'll notice now I have no rows locally. All my data is now in Azure, and I can still query it just like I did before. So I'm going to go ahead and query my local database. I'm still pointing to my local database, my AdventureWorks, and I'm going to query that. Now, that particular table is completely moved into Azure, so it's going to query that data in the Azure table, even though my local database server is managing the query. And here, that same data is available to me. I don't have to worry about where that data is. It's just there. Now, to kind of close the loop on that, I do want to show you that if you want to bring that data back on-premise, you right-click, you go to the Stretch, and you disable, and you bring it back from Azure. That's really all there is to it. You say yes. It's going to kick off that process. And now, much like it moved it into Azure, now it's going to move it back to my local database. And everything works the same. So I have one more sample for you. Open that up. Oh, sorry. It's not in here. My apologies. So let me go here and let me look at a database I have, a little smaller database. It's Contoso. I'm going to go ahead and actually take this database. So we talk about being able to have business continuity with your data. There's a number of services we have. We can back up, and if I choose to back up, I can choose not to back up to disk, but to a URL. When I do that, it's going to ask me for my Azure storage container. I can log into my account. I'm not signed in for this right now, but you would log into your account. And then be able to back it up directly to Azure. There's no backup locally, it just backs up. You can script this out or schedule this out in SQL so that it automatically backs up your full backup or your incremental backup on a daily or weekly basis, however you want to do that, into Azure directly, into your storage account. And it's a very low cost option. We're talking pennies a month per gigabyte. And all that data is published in our portal. You can look to see how much storage costs for blob, what we call blob storage. But really, it's very low cost. And then you have that data available. But what I'd like to show you right now is how we take this data and we actually migrate it to Azure. We're going to actually migrate this database so it's not even local. We're going to move it into Azure as a fully managed PaaS SQL database. So if I right-click on this and I go to my tasks, you notice down here we have another two options. One is to deploy the database to a Microsoft Azure SQL database or deploy the database to a Microsoft Azure VM. So if you've already created an Azure VM using the method I showed you and you want to take an on-premises database and actually move it to that VM, you do it simply by clicking on here, providing the credentials to your VM and the SQL Server name and connecting to it and choosing the database instance that you want to put it in and then deploying it. But I'm going to make it even simpler. I'm going to go ahead and right-click on my Contoso. I'm going to go back to my tasks. And I'm going to go down to deploy my database to an Azure SQL database. Now, this is a PaaS database or platform as a service. And I'm going to choose a connection. Now, I've already made a connection to a server that I have in the a PaaS server I have in the cloud. All my credentials are cached, so I'm just going to click OK. Now, it's going to say, do you want to create a new database? I'm going to say sure. It's going to pick the level. You can pick the level, basic, standard, or premium. If I want to just have it for business continuity and have it there and available just in case I need to be able to make it available, basic will work. Now, if you want to move it to the cloud and make it fully functional, we recommend standard or premium. Those have some different SLAs and different capabilities. But to get started for this demo, I'm just going to use basic. And then choose a temporary location. As it's doing the backup, it needs some temporary storage. So I'm going to go ahead and do that, hit next. It's going to kick off a process that will migrate it. Now, before we watch that or we kick that off, I'm going to go over here and look at my portal. And I'm going to go to my Azure SQL databases. Now, you'll notice I have one here. It's called DemoDB. That's just one I use for doing some demos. If I hit refresh, that's still the only one there. So when we come back to our deployment, it's going to ask us to look at our summary. Go ahead and hit finish. Now, it's going to kick off the process. It's going to create the scripts, schedule the task, and do it in an immediate step. You can also script this out and have this available at any time if you'd like to be able to re-execute via T-SQL or via a scheduled task or process. And what it's going to finally do, after it builds all the tasks and exports the data to a temp location for the migration, then it's going to actually package up the data, create the schemas in the database, and then update the database. So it's actually going to send the data directly to the database. Now, depending on the size of your database, this could take minutes or maybe hours, who knows. But the fact is that with just a right click and a simple deploy, your data can be back in the cloud at, again, a very low cost with guaranteed SLAs by Microsoft and the ability to be able to have that data available in the cloud in multiple locations. So you could actually choose to have your data geo-redundant, or what we call geo-redundant storage, which takes the data and puts it in multiple locations simultaneously. So you ensure that if there's a earthquake on the west coast or flood or on the east coast or what have you, that your data is available in multiple locations and provides that business continuity that you need without having to pay for a data center, multiple data centers in your organization, which can cost quite a bit of money. So while that's finishing up, let's go ahead and go back to our slides. We'll come back to that and verify that the data was migrated successfully. So again, summarizing the reducing your CapEx and OpEx, the geo-redundant storage availability for you to be able to have your data available anywhere, the ease of creating and standing up a new virtual machine that will take that database and manage it for you and provide business continuity to your organization is all simple. Right clicks, deploy. The key to remember this, when we talk about hybrid data, Microsoft is the one organization that provides all of this in a consistent environment. Whether you choose to use an Azure SQL database, put a VM in SQL in Azure as a SQL VM, or do more advanced things like our Azure SQL Data Warehouse and our analytics or APS platform, all of them have consistent T-SQL commands where it's the same support and capabilities in all of them. The ability to be able to migrate from on cloud to on-prem and back again as your business requirements needs are there. It's simple. It's all built into the package, and all the tools are the same. So whether I want to manage my SQL Server on-prem or in the cloud with Management Studio, I can do that. I don't have to go to different tools or have different management consoles. And it's all through the SQL interface. So let's summarize. Test drive Azure. This is the time to do it. Go to azure.microsoft.com, sign up for an account, and start using it today. If you have SQL Server on-premises and you want to start using some of these advanced functions like SQL Server backup to Azure, or being able to create a VM and migrate your data, or use the SQL PaaS as an option, you can do that as well. obviously, check out our past studio series with Channel 9 at AKA MTC Studio. And also check out our past series on the MTC Studio 9 channel as well. Before I jump to Q&A, I want to finish up with my demo and show you that our data has now successfully migrated. So if I hit close, I come over here to my SQL databases, I hit refresh, my Contoso database is there. I now can provide that business continuity that I need to my organization in relatively simple fashion. So let's take a look at the Q&A. I have not been able to look at it. Let's see, what do we have? Just lost audio. Oh, well. Sorry about that. All right, my producer says that that was taken care of. Let's see. I know that Dell provides app assurance package, prepackaged Azure VMs, probably using wrong names. Beyond that, and the SQL he just talked about, what other vendors have prepackaged apps for Azure? So when we talk about apps, there's a number of applications. I kind of showed you, I'll jump back into that for you if you'd like here. We talked about it. I only showed you our Azure SQL VMs. We have a number of prepackaged apps. As a matter of fact, we have, it's growing. Last I heard it was over 500. It's probably near 1,000 now. But if I hit new and I want to look in the marketplace, I can see all in the marketplace. From here, you'll see virtual machines, which is what I showed you, but there are non-virtual machine services. For instance, if you wanted to look at Oracle, you can actually look at Oracle databases and stand them up as a VM. We also have things like MongoDB, if you want to do a NoSQL service that's not Microsoft-based. We have Mongo as well. We have quite a few services. We have our own services, of course, which is, you know, web and mobile, and being able to stand up websites and build out a number of services there. We have data storage options, our own storage, whether it be storage accounts in blob or table storage, NoSQL as in a document DB. We have MySQL and various other things, Redis, etc. So you can go down the list here and see what we have, but we have quite a number of services. It's probably in the order of thousands now available for that Azure subscription at any time. I hope that answers the question. If not, please let me know. Did the presenter already cover security, particularly PCI DSS requirements? Very good question. So in Azure, we have, if you look at, if you do a search for Azure and trusted, I think you can just do, Azure Trust Center. You'll see that we have a number of compliances here. You can look at all of them here in the Trust Center. Learn more about security. Let's see here. Blah, blah, blah. Trusted compliance. Here we go. So if you click on the compliance, you'll go to our compliance center, and you'll see all of the compliances we have. We have so many that really we ask you to filter, whether they be Azure government, U.S. government. We are PCI. We are FISMA. We have HIPAA. Here's the PCI. We have HIPAA. We have FedRAMP, FDA, ISO spec. All sorts of them. As a matter of fact, I believe we are the industry cloud leader when it comes to compliance and security capability. So so you can check it out there. If you have any questions, please reach out to your Microsoft account rep or your partner that you're working with. Or you can contact us here at Microsoft, the MTC. Let's see. When you enable Stretch, where do you add your Azure credentials, i.e. what is the step that has been done beforehand? So when I went to the Stretch, and I'll go back to that. Let's go back to our little table here. Tables, I'll go down to my, just to keep it consistent, I'll show you that order tracking. So when I enable Stretch, and click Enable, after this step, when I select this table, when I hit next, between the select table and summary, it actually prompts me. A dialog box will open up and ask me for my Azure credentials and certification. And at that point down, it downloads a security key and puts that on the server. Eventually, that key will expire, so you do have to renew them. But at that point, it'll ask you. And when you script it out, the key also gets scripted to be automatically re-enabled as well. So as long as your credentials don't change, as long as the login account doesn't change or get moved, or the credentials or capabilities around that account don't change, then it will not ask you again. So that is where that step would be. All right, good questions. Let's see. Can you talk about always-on availability groups with two nodes on-prem, separate location, one node on Azure, any recommendations for best practices? Yes, there are a number of recommendations for best practices around Azure Always On, SQL Always On with Azure. When you're doing, one of the easiest ones to think of, though, is if you're doing site-to-site and the servers aren't local, if they aren't next to each other, you probably want to do asynchronous. You want to keep them asynchronous because the transaction that you're doing on your primary server, your local server, if it's synchronous, will not commit until every synchronous server has that data on it. So to avoid a problem with that data, you know, taking too long to commit while you're waiting for the latency of the network of that farther server, you want to keep it asynchronous and have that data only copied, you know, when it can. Now, to be clear, the asynchronous is not a batch process. It's not like it's scripting up a batch of data and then sending it out. It's actually doing it on a message basis as fast as possible. So you can still have milliseconds or maybe a few seconds delay, but it is not batching it up for, let's say, 10 minutes or 15 minutes or even an hour. It's really doing it on its fastest possible method. So if it can do it near real time, it will, but you don't want to have the latency of the network prevent you from being able to commit your transaction. So that's probably the easiest one I can say without getting into too much detail. But when you have multiple servers and multiple sites, keeping them asynchronous is really probably a huge piece to making that successful. All right, still some more questions. So your credentials are cached. What's the PowerShell command to clear that in the cache in case we have more than one tenant? Very good question again. I don't have that off the top of my head. I wish I knew the PowerShell command by heart. But you can go in and dump all the credentials manually through PowerShell, as was pointed out. If you want to, I can try to follow up with you after the fact, and we'll get that information to you, hopefully. Or you can reach out to your local account rep, and he should be able to gather that information. I'm sure there's a white paper on it somewhere. I do remember seeing it, so it's there, but I don't have that available offhand. Any plans to introduce a SQL message broker into SQL Azure? So not all services are available to Azure SQL, as was pointed out in that question. Because of that, you may not be able to use Azure SQL for all your services. That's the reason why we have Azure VMs available and be able to spin up SQL Server as a VM. Now, to be clear, the message broker service in SQL, we can augment that with other services in Azure, maybe not one-to-one, but you do have the ability to do message type services within Azure that then can connect to your Azure SQL. We also have Azure Data Factory, which acts as a more scalable and more option feature rich SSIS, for instance. So if you want to do integration services or ETL jobs, you can use Azure. Instead of using SSIS, we would recommend to use Azure Data Factory, which has connectors to even non-traditional data sources, such as a Twitter or Facebook or Hadoop, and being able to bring that data into your structured and non-structured services, whether they be Azure SQL or HD Insight, which is Microsoft's version of Hadoop as a PaaS service. So that capability is there. It's just not the same it's not named the same, or it does not have the same capability. So if you require the message broker service, you would have to spin up a VM for that. We'll take a couple more questions and then, wow, keep coming in. All right, this is great. See, can you please share this link to previous users who asked changing Azure subscriptions? Yeah, we'll try to get that posted. Dean, I don't know, is there a place to do it after or online that people? We'll post it in the feedback. All right, we'll post that in the feedback for you, all of you waiting for that. Somebody posted right here. All right, well, hopefully that's it. I don't have a chance to look at that link. We'll make sure it's in the feedback as well. SSRS in action, or in Azure. So we don't have SSRS in Azure. What we do have is Power BI. We had a few sessions ago, maybe it was the last session or the session before, we did a demo of Power BI and the capabilities available for you there. Power BI is offered as a freemium, so you can sign up for a free version right now. Go to Power BI, powerbi.com, and be able to check that out immediately. It's a much more advanced, visually advanced service than SSRS, and has more capability from a dashboarding, reporting, KPI perspective, and gives you ability to share and do a number of things, including publishing those dashboards publicly and embedding them in your own web page for others to see. So I would recommend looking at in place of SSRS in Azure, I would recommend you look at Power BI as that service to replace that. One more here, and then we'll wrap up. Sorry if I put you on the spot about PowerShell. Thanks, as always. All right. Well, it wasn't a question. You're quite welcome. You didn't put me on the spot. Just wasn't prepared to answer it. But it looks like we'll get that in the feedback for you, hopefully today, and make it available for everybody else. Well, it's been a spirited discussion. I hope everybody got something out of this today. As always, I thank you for joining us. This has been a great wrap-up session on our data series. My name is Kevin Orbaker. Thank you for joining us here at the MTC Studios. We'll see you next time.